Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name's Joey Weaver. He is Mike McDaniel. Mike, week 8. Here we go. We got a big slate this weekend. You ready to go?
I'm ready. All right, the question is, are you ready for the Atlanta Braves to be one game away from the World Series?
Okay, Mike, look. As we start recording this, we are watching the bottom of the ninth of this game. The Braves have just taken a 7-run lead. I don't think you understand how much this lead can be blown, so we're not going to do like play-by-play, but if you just hear it in my voice as we go, you'll know something went wrong.
What could possibly go wrong?
For an Atlanta sports team with a lead in the playoffs. Couldn't
two
be
outs
me,
away.
Mike.
2 outs away from a 3-1 lead.
Couldn't be me.
Don't worry, I'll live narrate. I don't have a problem with that.
Well,
I think our loyal basketball conference fans will appreciate this content, Joey.
I think they will. We have plenty of Braves fans that listen to this show. So you get to relive this with us as you listen to this on like Thursday morning or, you know, whenever you listen.
Yeah.
Mike, as mentioned, it is week 8 in the ACC. We have 7 ACC-involved games on the slate that we need to hit on here. A couple of out-of-conference games should be kind of interesting as well. Let's start, as we always start, Mike, and review our Van Gorder coin balances. So as the people know, we started the season with 500 Van Gorder coin apiece. We have used that Van Gorder coin to explain kind of our confidence in the picks that we make. You know, we don't want to actually wager on every last pick. We want to pick every game against the spread and in the total, but we don't really believe as heavily in every pick as much as the others. So, Mike, we wager Van Gorder coin.
We do.
And I don't know if you realized what happened last week, Mike.
I do now, looking at this. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, because, Mike, it turns out things can change in a hurry. Your boy won every single one of his Van Gorder coin picks last week. I was up 81 Van Gorder coin and 90 cents, and I'm now in the lead with 463.90. We are working our way back towards 500. Mike, you were up 1230, but you find yourself now trailing by 2 Van Gorder coin out of 500. What do you have to say for yourself?
Sometimes I pick losers.
I know a lot of what that feels like.
So does my wife.
That's right. That's right. So once again, I have a... By the way, I just started saying stuff. It took me a second to process what you had said.
Yeah,
so.
You caught up. It's good. It's all good.
We got there. So once again, I lead 463 to 461, a slight lead. As again, it's 7 weeks into the season, and we are still below the starting point. So if you want to know what to do with our picks when you actually go to the window, do the opposite.
But not as bad as last year, though.
Not as bad, no. This year is more predictable than last year.
Well, yes, when you have fans and you're able to actually practice and you know who's going to play week to week, it makes betting a little bit easier.
Right, yeah. Right. There's a little bit of order to what's happening as opposed to last year, which was literally just like rolling dice to see who came up with more.
Correct. 1 out away, by the way.
I'm still like a pitch or two behind you, so I appreciate the preview.
Listen, blowing a 7-run lead with 2 outs in the ninth, yes, it would be very Atlanta, but it would also be very, very difficult. So, Godspeed. Lost for words.
There's a certain Super Bowl I'm not going to bring up here.
I would.
Mike, as we work on previewing these games, let's remind the people that all the spreads and all the totals that you hear here are brought to you by BetUS.com. Mike, they are America's favorite sports book. They've been in business for over 30 years. Again, all these spreads, totals, all sorts of different things in college football can be bet on at BetUS.com. You can go bet Heisman odds. You can bet conference championship odds, which we got some updated ones recently, and they're very intriguing. We need to get to those at a show sometime soon. Mike, as mentioned, the MLB playoffs are in action. We could talk about the fact that yesterday I bet the Dodgers at a plus number to win the series right before they went and broke Atlanta's hearts last night. So you can bet those kinds of things. The NFL, NBA is starting up. There's politics and world events. All sorts of things can be bet on at BetUS.com. Mike, remember, use promo code GOACC for a 125% bonus on your first deposit of at least $100 at BetUS.com. Once again, promo code GOACC for a 125% bonus on your first deposit of at least $100. Go do that. Go have some fun at BetUS.com, Mike.
Yep.
You're texting me stuff, trying to mess me up. Good job. Good job, Mike.
Almost worked.
Mike, the game of the weekend in the ACC,
Atlanta Braves. Excuse me. Congrats to your Atlanta Braves. One win away from the World Series.
My goodness. Who would have thought?
3-1 lead. 3-1 lead.
Thankfully, the Braves don't have any sort of recent history of blowing 3-1 leads to the Dodgers to not make the World Series. That would
anyway,
be a shame if they did.
Moving on.
Mike, let's kick it off here. The big game of the weekend in the ACC, I think, at least from a very, just an intriguing standpoint. 3:30 on ESPN, the Clemson Tigers are on the road taking on the number 23 Pittsburgh Panthers. The Tigers, Clemson, are a 3-point underdog in this game. Total is 48. Mike, Clemson, an underdog in an ACC game for the first time since we've been doing this podcast. And I don't exactly remember when the last time actually was that they were an underdog in an ACC game. I kind of think it was against Florida State, 2015 or thereabouts, maybe.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's such a weird place to me. If you told me 2 months ago that Clemson and Pittsburgh was going to play and one of these teams was going to be ranked and it wasn't Clemson, I mean, just what kind of bizarro world are we living in? That's crazy.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, are you going to bet on Clemson right now?
Nope. Not against a team with a functional offense at this point.
Right, and look, I think that Clemson can hold Pittsburgh's offense down momentarily, right? I will say that it was a little bit concerning to see Clemson give up 157 yards to Sean Tucker last Friday night when Clemson is well aware that Syracuse is nowhere near even a consistent threat to throw the football down the field. We're not even talking about completing it, just throwing it, and still couldn't find a way to stop Sean Tucker. So, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh doesn't have a rushing attack like that, but as Virginia Tech found out, Izzy Abanikanda is good enough where if, Clemson gives up running lanes and, gives him an opportunity to make some plays at the second level, he's going to be able to do that. Now, the bigger issue for Clemson is on the offensive side of the football, because whether or not Pittsburgh establishes a running game in this football game, in my opinion, is pretty moot, because I think that Kenny Pickett will find a way to throw at least two or three touchdown passes in this football game. So
wow.
If you don't establish a run and he's still able to do that, then are you confident that Clemson can score three touchdowns in this game, right? If the answer is yes, maybe you like Clemson money line or Clemson plus three. Maybe that looks a little bit more attractive to you. But I can't in good conscience, from what I've seen out of DJU, and he has all the talent in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Really talented player, huge arm, certainly not the runner that, Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson or Kelly Bryant were for Clemson, over the last 6 or 7 years. But he's athletic enough back there and he can make all the throws. But being able to make all the throws and actually making the throws are two different things. And right now, I think DJU is too in his own head. I think it's a mental thing more than a physical thing for him right now. And I think there are enough playmakers around him where if he were able to just simplify things and mentally process things on a timely basis, I think that Clemson would be in a much better spot. But But I don't trust him to do that. So give me Pittsburgh. Give me the under 48.
Yes.
I'm not going to put any Van Gorder coin on this to lock anything up now. But I think Pittsburgh and the under are the two picks here.
I tend to agree with that. As I think about this, it's interesting to me because I kind of feel like this game, we are going to learn nothing about Clemson. Like, I don't think that there is anything that can really realistically happen in this game with this matchup and just these rosters and all that is really going to teach us something about Clemson. I think we are going to learn something about Pittsburgh. Because I have been on the record and I have said so far that I feel like some of the Pitt offense stuff is a little bit of fool's gold. Because you look at some of the defenses that they've put up numbers against, and I think prior to last weekend, maybe the best performance that they've had in terms of the defense they were going against was either at Tennessee or at Georgia Tech. And I've told you how much I felt like Georgia Tech had a terrible game plan and didn't adjust at all. Like they coached their way out of that game. But this is a really good Clemson defense that, despite the fact that their offense has done nothing to support that defense and Clemson has not covered a spread yet and all that stuff, that defense, injuries and all, has just absolutely played their tails off, and they're really good. And so if Pittsburgh can go out here and score 28, 30 points, like, that will be really impressive. But, Mike, I don't know that they can. And it's a little bit, again, I think this Pittsburgh offense, what we've seen so far, is a little bit fool's gold. But also, I think Clemson's defense is really, really good, and it's going to keep being really good. Now, that being said, I don't think Pittsburgh is going to score that much. I also don't think Clemson's going to score that much. And that's really not, like, news at this point. Clemson hadn't scored a whole lot of anything against anybody this year. Clemson hadn't covered a spread yet against an FBS team. I told you last week, like, I didn't think they were going to have a lot of luck moving the ball on a pretty feisty Syracuse defense. Mike, this Pitt defense is more than feisty, at least up front. Like, I'm not sure Clemson's going to be able to block Pittsburgh's front.
Yeah.
I know that Clemson's not going to be able to run the ball against Pittsburgh. So, like you're kind of alluding to, this kind of becomes the DJU show, and I don't know, that's a show that Tiger fans are ready to watch.
Yeah, that's certainly not a parade I'm ready to get behind with him as a leader, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not marching behind him willingly, knowing how he's playing right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a game that, I mean, Clemson's best hope at this point, I think, in this game is that either A, you see a continuation of what we saw last week where the offense survives basically on circus catches by their, you know, talented but, you know, somewhat flawed wide receiver core, or B, maybe somehow, some way, this is the week that Clemson puts it all together, which we're just going to keep saying every week through the rest of the season until it actually happens, which it probably won't.
Yep.
So I'm with you. Give me Pittsburgh. Give me the under. And, Mike, most importantly, give me 20 Van Gorder coin on the under. We're locking up under 48 Clemson-Pittsburgh.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
I think this is like 20 to 10. Like, this is not a high-scoring game at all. I don't think either team is going to have an easy time moving the ball. I can look up the number here real quick of Clemson games. So, again, Clemson has not covered, and I think almost every game they've played has gone under the total. Yeah. They went over against NC State by half a point in a game that went to double overtime. And other than that, it's gone under against Georgia, under against Georgia Tech, under against Boston College, under against Syracuse. So let's just keep riding these Clemson unders. I'm going to put 20 Van Gorder coin on that and just stick with it. I think Pitt wins the game. Like I said, I think they cover three. I think they win by maybe a touchdown, something like 20 to 13 or something like that. But I don't think this is getting into the 40s, Mike.
Fair enough. I mean, I like the under, but I could see it getting weird points wise. And the other thing too is, like, I know it's a six game sample size at this point, but, like, I'm not ready to give up on a bunch of five stars at Clemson and not figure it out, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm willing to pick Pittsburgh to win the game. I'm willing to lean on the under, but on the off chance they have a week where the offense clicks, this thing can go over in a hurry.
Sure can. All right, Pitt and the under for both of us. I've got 20 Van Gorder coin on the under. Mike, I do feel like we need to note here. This is such a big game that Pitt is playing a home game on a Saturday, and it's not at noon. They got bumped all the way to 3:30 for this. This is such a massive game. They are not playing at Pitt o'clock. Incredible.
They're not playing at Pitt o'clock, which I don't know if that works to their advantage or to their detriment. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we will find out. Moving on, Mike. Later on the evening, 7:30 on ESPN2, the Deuce, the number 18 NC State Wolfpack on the road in Coral Gables taking on the Miami Hurricanes. Mike, the Wolfpack's on the road, but they're only a 3-point favorite. Total's 51.5. Mike, does this line stink to you kind of like it does to me?
Yeah, it stinks, but the line stunk at BC last week too. So I think they're just trying to get NC State back-to-back road games, you know, coming off of a emotional victory on the road. And I'm sorry, Joey. I cannot pick Miami in this spot. No. NC State, lock it up. Lock it up, Joey. NC
you
State.
Lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
Mike, this is now an NC State podcast, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to win the Atlantic. I just...
Don't say that too loudly with Steam and Deke fans around, but yes, probably.
Well, yeah, and I know they don't usually win in Winston-Salem. I think this is the year that changes, by the way. But we can cross that bridge when we get to it in about a month. NC State's the better team here. I don't know. I mean, good for Miami, right? That they put up, what, 42 points last week and lost. I mean, NC State is a much better team than North Carolina. This is a tougher game for Miami this week. I know they're at home, but... I just don't. I mean, I guess the only spot you can look at is like NC State's now going on the road again for a second consecutive week. So like, is that, how much does that matter? But you went to Chapel Hill and then you're going to play at Hard Rock. Like the combined occupancy of those two stadiums for those two games is probably like 35,000 total. So who cares?
And 32,000 of them were in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there it is. So there it is.
We're just kicking Miami all the way down here.
Yeah, I'm going to go NC State. I like the over as well in this game.
Oh, you said we meant Chestnut Hill. That's Boston College, not Chapel Hill, which is North Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Miami played in Chapel Hill. Yeah. Miami played in Chapel Hill.
There you go.
I got that a little backwards. Point being, though, the point stands. Chestnut Hill, Chapel Hill, you know, Hard Rock Stadium. My joke still hits. It doesn't really matter. Like, the joke is the same. Let's just change the locations.
That's right. That's right. I'm with you. I like this Miami team. That loss last week, in a way, like despite being down and kind of doing the comeback thing, like, and just, did you see the body language of Manny Diaz after the game? And just that whole program is just in a total state of deflation. Like we mentioned, Kevon Harris is out for the year.
Yep.
Like this whole thing is just spiraling for Miami.
It is. And
NC State, by the way, we've said, they're the most complete team in this conference. Like, they run the ball well, they throw the ball well, they play defense well, they do everything.
Good so, special teams, yeah.
Yeah, so you're telling me they're only a 3-point favorite. Like, yeah, it's on the road, but, like, is Miami a tough place to play at this time of year with the Canes, what, 2-4? Like, no.
Yeah, I don't think this line is factoring in Miami's quitability.
Yeah, not at all, not at all. Like, and we are... We are in the danger zone, Mike, for Miami just like quitting at any point in time now. That could easily happen. So I'm with you. Give me NC State as well. And Mike, you know what? Double barrels. Let's go. Lock it up.
Hell yeah.
Lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
NC State. This feels like this should be closer to like a touchdown or something. Like this is a few points away at least. And, yeah, I really like NC State in this spot.
Yeah, I'll put 20 Van Gorder coin on NC State. You know, obviously they're favored, so they're winning the game outright. I think NC State wins this game by like 10.
Yeah, I think so. I think
7
so.
To 10 points, I think, is pretty reasonable. Anything more than that would be pretty impressive, I think, for going on the road second straight week, that sort of thing.
I was going to go like 34-24, 31-24, something like that.
Yeah, I'm on the over, by the way. I think.
Yeah.
that aligns with your score prediction as well.
Yeah, I think just because I'm trying to pull out numbers that sound like they'll end up right, like, yeah, I'll take the over as well, but 51.5 is the total, so I don't feel particularly strongly about it. I am with you. I will also put 20 Van Gorder coin on NC State here. I feel pretty good about the Wolfpack. Like, this is one of my favorite plays of the week in the ACC. Honestly, this and the Clemson-Pittsburgh under are probably things that I will put some real-life hard-earned Van Gorder coin on when it comes down to it.
That's what your day job pays you in.
That's right. That's right. I had to put in a request for that, but they made it happen. They're very very accommodating group.
Yeah, good for that HR department.
They love me there.
I bet they do.
So NC State in the over. We both have NC State locked for 20 Van Gorder coin. Mike, let's keep moving. We have another game we're going to preview, and before we do that, we're going to tell you that preview is brought to you by Section103.com. Mike, it is the greatest spot on the internet to go find Georgia Tech apparel. They've got t-shirts, they've got sweatshirts, they've got hoodies, they've got things with the official word marks on them, which, by the way, that's really not easy to find these days. They've got apparel, t-shirts, all that with the actual Tech gold color, which also not that easy to find these days somehow, some way. They've got things with the ATL logo on there. There's a lot of really cool exclusive items at section103.com. Very much recommend checking them out. I got a new shipment in the last week or so, one of the performance hoodies. I got the Bobby Dodd Stadium is my happy place t-shirt. Absolutely love it. Super high quality. Everything looks great. Cannot recommend it enough. Mike, the people go to section103.com for all sorts of Georgia Tech gear. Use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order. Once again, promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order at section103.com. Great, great products. Really appreciate Steven and his partnership, Mike.
Yeah, just so Steven knows, I was wearing my Georgia Tech shirt today.
Atta
boy. Just the plain Georgia Tech one I wore today. So
I was as well. I had a new performance ATL shirt that I was wearing. And I made sure to turn the camera on for meetings as I was working from home. It's like, gotta rep the brand, man.
That's right. That's right.
So do that.
These sponsorships don't pay for themselves.
They do not. They do not. And by the way, when I'm at the Tecmo Bowl here in a couple weeks, you bet your ass I'll be wearing my Section 103 gear.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
I would not have been wearing mine at that particular game, but.
Well, you had a, if I, you had some modified custom gear.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have Glennoned it like Steven did for me when he shipped it to me.
Classic. Classic.
Classic.
Promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order at section103.com. Shout out to them. They are fantastic. We appreciate their partnership. Mike, it's 7:30 on the ACC Network. My Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets on the road in Charlottesville taking on the Virginia Cavaliers. Georgia Tech is 7-point underdog. Total is 63.5. First off, it's worth mentioning here, Charlottesville generally has been a house of horrors for Georgia Tech basically since Scott Sisson kicked a field goal to knock off the number one Cavaliers back in 1990, which is to say that after I've been born, Charlottesville has been terrible to Georgia Tech. That's not great. Georgia Tech coming off a bye. I was asked this somebody the other day, and I told him, you know, honestly, this line of about a touchdown underdog, this seems about right. I think outside of a touchdown, a little steep. Inside of a touchdown, I'd be very much willing to take Virginia. I have a bad feeling that Brennan Armstrong in this passing attack is going to absolutely shred Georgia Tech's secondary. Like, they don't do a great job of getting pressure. The secondary makes enough mistakes in coverage that I just don't know that they're going to be able to hold down Virginia's offense enough, nor do I think they're going to really be able to score enough. And it's not like Virginia's defense has been fantastic, but Georgia Tech's offense is sloppy enough and their offensive line struggles enough that I just don't have a good feeling about this game. I am very much leaning Virginia here, but I also kind of feel like a push might be about right.
Yeah, I'm on Virginia because of what you just mentioned. Going to Charlottesville for UVA is basically like Virginia Tech going to Heinz Field. It's just not good.
Mm-hmm.
Not good to the Hokies in that respect. Not good to Georgia Tech heading up to Charlottesville. And I'm with you. I mean, I think the concern here for Georgia Tech is A, being able to slow down Brent Armstrong, and then B, being able to keep up offensively for four quarters. And like you mentioned, like Virginia's defense hasn't been like fantastic, but they've had their moments, and obviously they're coming off of a shutout against Duke, which I think says more about Duke than it probably does about Virginia. But nevertheless, like, Duke's offense have been playing decently going into that game. So I think Virginia is certainly coming off of, you know, their best defensive performance of the season. So I'm going to go with UVA. I think they get enough stops. Georgia Tech's offense is a little bit too choppy for me, a little bit too hot and cold. Virginia, we know what they are offensively. They are all or nothing with Brennan Armstrong. But even so, they've been finding a way to score points, even with that one-dimensional aspect to their offense. I think over the course of four quarters, I think Virginia pulls away, wins this game 7 to 10 points. I mean, I'm with you. I think the spread is about right. I think Virginia is about a touchdown better. I'll just go with UVA against the spread. I'll say they win and cover at home, but I could see, like, I don't know, 34 to 24, 33 to 21, something like that, like 10 to 12 points. I do think this goes under because I worry about Georgia Tech scoring enough. I worry about Georgia Tech scoring enough.
Yeah.
And I think it's also worth noting Virginia's had like red zone issues this year, right? So they're not always like keen in the red zone. So, you know, 63.5 is a lot. That's a lot of points. So I'm going to go under here and say that I'm more concerned about Georgia Tech holding up their end of the bargain, but I've seen enough out of Virginia's red zone offense that I can have my doubts about them too.
I will, again, I'll do the same thing I kind of did with, I think I did it with somebody earlier. I've done it on recent episodes, is Virginia's offense does look pretty good right now. I will ask you, Mike, who is the best defense that they have played? Was it William & Mary, Illinois, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Miami, Louisville, or Duke?
Probably Wake Forest. So to answer your question, I think the best one that they've faced so far is the one they're going to be facing on Saturday.
I'm not sure that Georgia Tech has a great defense either. I just, again, trying to, like, you know, temperature check myself here before I think that Virginia has some elite offense. It's like they're not playing the 85 Bears defense either, week in and week out. Like,
well, and you can't have an elite offense when all you do is throw the ball 65 times a game.
Right. Yeah. Like, just abandon the run in the first quarter, not because you're down, but because it just doesn't work, and we can all just agree on that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I certainly did not have the Bronco Mendenhall air raid bingo square on the card when he came to Charlottesville. I will say that.
Well, and that's kind of the bizarre thing too, is it, you know, if somebody just woke up from a coma and was like, oh man, like, you know, stuff must not have been going very well for Virginia's offense, like they changed coordinators. No. Robert and I has been the offensive coordinator there the whole time that Bronco's been there.
Yeah.
Like, this is more of like a, you know, fit your scheme to your players, or, you know, what you do well, which, good on you. Like, that's what you should do. It's just surprising because it's very much like a total balance shift over what you're used to seeing. So that's just, it's, yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's bizarre. I'm with you. I think I'm going to take Virginia in the over. I'm going to go with the over just because something like 38-31 sounds right. I think Georgia Tech's offense does, they have shown the ability to be explosive. Their offensive line continues to be a mess. And I've heard a couple of things this week where, like, in media availability, Jeff Collins has said something about, you know, there's alluded to concerns about the health of the offensive line. And Georgia Tech's offensive line depth is roughly where Florida State's is, and that is not a measuring stick that you want to use in that category. I don't know. So I don't like this matchup for Georgia Tech. I think Virginia's playing well. I think they're going to keep rolling. Give me Virginia. Yeah, I think a touchdown is about right. So, but give me Virginia to cover, and I'll take the over. I think it's, but I don't feel strongly about any of that. I won't be wagering on this game.
Fair enough.
All right. Virginia for both of us. The over for me, the under for you. No wagers made. 4 o'clock on the ACC Network, Mike. The Boston College Eagles, a 6.5-point underdog on the road at Louisville. Total is 57. Mike, I have very conflicting opinions on this game. I'm struggling to know what to do with it. How do you feel about this game?
How do I feel about this game? Yeah, I mean, fair question. So this is one of those spreads where I have absolutely no idea what to do with it. I do think that Louisville is the better team. I think Louisville should win the game. But I've seen enough out of Boston College this year to know that, yeah, while, you know, the offense has been a bit up and down with Dennis Grossel or Grossel, whatever we're calling him at this point, I still just have a lot of trouble trusting Louisville.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I do. And Louisville's been fine. You know, they've been playing fine football. Cunningham's having a decent year, not turning the ball over nearly as much as he has been. But even so, like, what's preventing Louisville from laying an egg here at home against a Boston College team that they know is beat up, that they know is coming off of a 33-7 loss to NC State? This is a really important game for Louisville. You know, Louisville needs to win this game to stay in the Atlantic Division race. Louisville's the team right now in the Atlantic that nobody's really talking about. You know, we see Wake and we see NC State, and everybody's still talking about Clemson because as Clemson keeps on winning, they're not mathematically eliminated yet.
I mean, they've lost two in a row on defensive collapses. Like,
right. I'm thinking that Louisville's the pick here, but I think I'm going to go Boston College against the spread. This is just a really weird line.
Mm-hmm.
And not weird in the sense that the NC State line is weird when they're playing a definitively like worse team in Miami. This spread is weird in that I think these two teams are within 3 or 4 points of each other. And I think Boston College getting 6.5 is value. Like this feels like BC is getting a few too many points. And I think it's going to work out in my favor to pick Boston College. So I'm going with the Eagles. Over under is 57. I think I'm going to go with the under there as well, because I, again, am not sure I can trust one side of the coin offensively. And Louisville has a propensity, as we've seen in the past, to get a little bit turnover happy. So I think this game stays under 57. I think Boston College covers 6.5, but I think Louisville wins.
I share a lot of the same sentiment. Like, in my conflicting opinions here are, like, my first glance at this spread was like, oh, Louisville's favored by less than a touchdown against Boston College that really struggles on offense, you know, at times with, you know, the quarterback situation, all that. Like, yeah, I like Louisville to win this by at least a touchdown. No problem. And then I look at it again and I'm like, do I trust Louisville, like, at all at this point with what we've seen the last couple weeks? And I mean, the way that they beat UCF, like, that was a good win, but it took a hell of a lot of, you know, a lucky spot, I'll say, you know, in the way that it happened. So I don't know. I am less confident in Louisville, I think, than I wish I were. I'm with you. I think I'm going to take Boston College in the points. And it's a little bit of kind of leaning into, there's a number out there, and I forget exactly what it is, but so far, underdogs in the ACC are covering like 2/3 of the time. And Tom Fornelli of the Cover 3 podcast has been all over this season, where he talks about, like, basically it seems like nobody in the ACC is good enough to be favored. And it's one of those situations where unless I really definitively feel better about the favorite than the underdog, I'm probably just going to take the points, which is a strange thing to say after I've picked three favorites to start the podcast. But let's take Boston College and the points. Maybe Louisville still wins and pulls this off, but I have a bad feeling here that Boston College is going to kind of muddy this thing up. You know, they're going to hang with Louisville. Louisville's going to give up a couple of big plays here or there that's going to boost Boston College. I think Louisville wins. I think it's close and uncomfortable. And if they don't win, then I can basically just use my win total ticket on Louisville as kindling, because it's done.
There you go.
That's not going to happen. Might as well at least get some warmth out of it.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It'll be good to stoke your fire with.
That's right. It's not a euphemism. It's just actually what you do.
Right. Right. You literally light it on fire.
Right. And I'm going to take over 57, Mike. I think, again, this is entirely just the game that Louisville is going to play in my mind. They give up a lot of points. They score a lot of points. That's where I'm betting on this. So over 57 for me. I don't know. Maybe Louisville wins this like 42-38 or something uncomfortable like that. I don't know. We'll see.
Fair enough.
BC for both of us. Over for me, under for you. No wagers either way. 12:30 on ESPN3. Check your local listings. It's the Jefferson Pilot special, Mike.
Oh, good.
As the Syracuse Orange are a 3-point underdog on the road in Blacksburg, taking on your Virginia Tech Hokies. Total is 45.5. Are you going to be there, Mike?
No. I am surprised that Jefferson Pilot even wants to air Virginia Tech games at this point.
Have they checked that with the FCC yet? Or
you'd have to check it with the FCC if I was calling the game. Oh, man.
How do we... I kind of want Syracuse in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking Syracuse. Yeah, I mean, this is easy for me, Joey. Like, I'm just gonna fade my alma mater, and I mean, that was an absolutely piss poor, pathetic performance last week offensively. Now, do I think it's gonna be that bad again from a yardage standpoint? No, I think it'll. I don't want to call it regress to the mean because the mean is actually slightly higher than that 224-yard performance. I do think Virginia Tech will be a bit better offensively in this football game. The thing I'm concerned about is Virginia Tech has had red zone issues all year long. So even if Virginia Tech gets back in the win column, so to speak, I don't even know if I can phrase it that way, from a yardage standpoint, where they get back to around 300 yards per game, I'm not sure it's going to result in that much more points or that many more points. I don't know. I can't talk. Who cares? Syracuse, on the other hand, like, they have a defined identity. Sean Tucker runs the ball really well. Garrett Schrader is a handful when he gets running downhill. And Schrader's had his three best passing games the last 3 weeks. Now, I will say that, you know, Schrader is not exactly a prolific passer, but he's doing enough in the passing game, 135, 140 yards per game, where if he's running the ball a billion times, he's going to keep the defense off balance enough. And I think that's what Syracuse wants out of their offense. They want their quarterback to be an absolute battering ram. Ideally, you'll have a good running back, and then your quarterback will make enough plays in the passing game to keep the defense off balance. And that's what Syracuse is doing. It's a poor man's Eric Dungy offense.
The Syracuse offenses?
That's right.
Is Syracuse's offense kind of the late stage Virginia Tech offense at this point?
Late stage in what way?
Like an actually functional version of what Virginia Tech is trying to do, which is mainly run the ball and sometimes throw it.
Yes, with the exception of their quarterback being the quarterback body type and archetype that I think Brad Cornelison and Justin Fuente would prefer, where their quarterback's like 240 pounds, not like 185.
Can stay healthy and take more punishment than Braxton Burmeister can then.
And then transfer.
Yeah, I was sitting there because part of me feels like, you know, we could almost talk about Virginia Tech's offense right now as like a poor man's Eric Dungy Syracuse offense.
Oh God, don't do this to me.
This does have a feel, Mike, to me coming in of like, again, quick vibe check on these teams. Like Syracuse has lost three in a row by 3 points each, and like it sucks to lose those games. But damn, like they're hanging with Wake Forest and Clemson and teams that are, like, are more talented and or like, you know, more functional than they are.
Right.
Like things feel good there. And Virginia Tech is just like counting the days until their coach gets fired, basically.
Yeah, it's weird, too, because I thought, and I've maintained this going into the Pitt game, I thought Virginia Tech had by and large been playing pretty decent football this year. You know, save for a couple of possessions here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what a 180 the season can take off of one game, you know, and it was at home against a Pittsburgh team that's probably going to win the Coastal, but it was at home. And roster wise, I mean, this is kind of what Miami fans have been feeling in perpetuity, right, for a number of years now. It's like roster wise, we are not three touchdowns worse than the team we just lost to, right? Like, that's what Miami fans have been feeling. That's what Virginia Tech fans have been feeling, and I think rightfully so. And Virginia Tech, I think, is the more talented team here, and I don't think there's a question about that. The issue is that identity-wise, Virginia Tech doesn't have one on offense. And, you know, I would say that, yeah, Virginia Tech's defense, I think, will play fine in this game. You know, I think they'll hold Sean Tucker down enough. Like, I think Syracuse will struggle to throw. We'll have to monitor the one thing in this game defensively for Virginia Tech is Jermaine Waller was in a walking boot last week. Fuente said, you know, if he's healthy enough to play, he'll play. It's not a long-term issue, but I don't know if he's going to be playing on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That thing close to the vest. Now, does it ultimately matter that much? No, probably not, because Syracuse isn't exactly throwing the ball 70 times a game, but it's just something to monitor because Waller is like defensive player of the year territory in the ACC. He's been outstanding. So
yeah,
just a note. I like Syracuse because even though Sean Tucker, you know what they're trying to do with Tucker and Schrader, like Tucker still had like 154 yards rushing against Clemson last week. And Virginia Tech's front is not as good as Clemson's, even though Clemson's beat up. Like Virginia Tech's defensive front is just not as good. Now, I think they'll sell out on the run. I don't think it'll matter. Give me Syracuse. Give me the under. I'm actually going to lock up the under, Joey.
Ew.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
Virginia Tech has been fond on those unders this year.
They have been, right? Under has been a popular play with Virginia Tech. Several of their games, I think all but one maybe, have gone under.
Four out of five.
So, yeah, the under is a popular play. So I don't think I'm breaking new ground here by picking the under, but you know, I think Virginia Tech's defense, the reason why I'm picking the under is because I think Virginia Tech's defense will hold Syracuse to less than four touchdowns, which sounds insane. Like they should be able to do that, right? But my bigger concern is whether or not Virginia Tech can score more than two touchdowns, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Syracuse wins this game like 23-14 or 21-14, something like that.
I just think 21-17, something like that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Syracuse wins outright as a 3-point dog on the road. I like the orange here. I think Virginia Tech's going to, over the course of four quarters, I think they're going to be tired defensively, and I just don't think the offense is going to deliver. It's been the story of the year so far. Even in the games where Tech's played well, the offense hasn't delivered four quarters.
Nope. For what it's worth, SP Plus says Virginia Tech winning this game by 3.8. So, you know.
Great.
Yeah. Slight favorite, you know, or slightly favors Virginia Tech to cover, but... I'm with you. Give me Syracuse to win this game outright. I think they will. Syracuse has covered five in a row, Mike. Virginia Tech has failed to cover three in a row. So not great. I guess I'll take the under as well. This feels like a rock fight kind of game, but also like, you know, the total's 45.5. So it really wouldn't take more than a couple of defensive busts or a special teams touchdown or something to go over that. So I'm not going to wager on it or lock that up, but I'm with you. I kind of think Syracuse wins this game outright and gets the most signature win, I guess, that Dino Babers has needed in a couple of years now. We'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think Syracuse is playing better football right now. Mm-hmm. And I think their defense is playing well. They got like a top 30 defense right now in terms of like total defense, stuff like that. And, you know, you can point to opponent in some cases, be like, okay, who have they played offensively? But defense has been better, and I think it's because the offense is staying on the field longer. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this would be a big win for Syracuse. I think it also goes into the whole Tom Fornelli thing you were just talking about. Like, may as well take the points here with Cuse. I think the Orange win. I think they're playing better football. I don't know necessarily at their peak if they're the better team or not, but they're playing better football right now, so that's enough for me.
We agree. So I can't wait for Virginia Tech to win this game like 38-10.
Yeah, same. Right. Yeah, there's the offense. Found it.
I'm guessing you wouldn't mind that. So, Mike, we both have Syracuse in the under. You have the under locked up. Do you have a wager on the under?
I'm not going to put actually that much on. I'm going to say like 15 Van Gorder coin, I think. The reason why I'm going to put a little bit less on this is because even in some of the Virginia Tech like poor offensive performances, they've still been able to put up some points, right? Like Notre Dame was very up and down. Tech still scored four, you know, they scored four times. Essentially, it was 29 points. It was three touchdowns and a few field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Random 2-point conversion that didn't happen. So, yeah, I mean, I'll go the under and 15 Van Gorder coin on the off chance Virginia Tech finds their offense.
There you go. Fair enough. Okay. Syracuse in the under for both of us. Thank the Orange going to Blacksburg and get the win.
Gross.
Yeah, gross is right. Well, for Hokies fans at least. Love you, Syracuse fans. The three of you.
Nate Mink, shout out. Nate Mink.
Yeah, Nate Mink and Q's Football Hype on Twitter. Shout out to them.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, Tech better win for my sake. He's already talking that trash. Q's Football Hype. That's all right. In good fun, of course.
Love it.
Yeah.
Noon on the CBS Sports Network, Mike. But by the way, there is one team in the ACC that I think has ever played a game on the CBS Sports Network. And it could only, of course, be the Wake Forest Steamin' Deeks.
It was Wake Forest Tulane, I think, a few years ago. It was Sam Hartman's first game.
Or like Rice or, yeah, there was some like Conference USA or some opponent like that.
I'm telling you, Tulane. Wake opened with Tulane. Connor O'Neill, if you're listening to this, correct me if I'm wrong. Wake Forest opened up with Tulane. Sam Hartman's first game as the Wake Forest quarterback as a true freshman. And you and I came away impressed with Wake Forest.
That might be right. This time, Mike, they are a 3-point favorite on the road, taking on the troops, Mike, the Army Black Knights. They are up in, oh God, I'm losing it. Where is that in New York?
West Point.
Good Lord. It has been a week. The Braves are in the playoffs and it's all taking a toll on me.
Yeah. Sleep's at a premium. I get it.
All right. So restart here. So the number 16 Wake Forest Steamin' Deeks, a 3-point favorite on the road in West Point, taking on the troops, the Army Black Knights. Total's 52.5. It's at noon on the CBS Sports Network. There's the summary of the game, Mike. Mike, this line stinks.
Yeah.
Wake is like a legit fringe top 15 team, and they're only given 3 against Army here. Like,
yeah. Give me Army.
Ooh. Outright?
I'm feeling spicy. Wake Forest coming off a bye week. Army hard fought game against Wisconsin at Camp Randall last Saturday. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with how Army played. Now, granted, it's against a bad Wisconsin team, but I mean, just looking at the rosters and looking at the size mismatch and stuff like that, like Army is outgunned in that game against Wisconsin from a physicality standpoint up front. And I thought they hung in there. Wake Forest, yes, you're coming off a bye week. You know, your last two outings against Louisville and Syracuse, you won those games by 3 points each. You know, Wake Forest, I think, was stronger at the beginning of the year than they were over the last two games. That Syracuse game worried me a little bit. You know, I'm cooling on Syracuse after narrowly escaping the Carrier Dome in overtime. Like I'm cooling a little bit on Wake. Not to say that they still won't win like 10 games or something, because they probably will, but I'm cooling on them a bit. And that's why NC State's now my favorite to win the Atlantic. I'm on Army. The line stinks, and I'm wondering if Wake Forest has sold us a little bit of a false bill of goods. That's what I'm wondering. I just find out. Feeling spicy about the Deeks tonight.
That is spicy. It's an interesting exercise to me, Mike, because you look at who Army has played so far, and where would you rank Wake Forest against the following programs?
Yep.
Georgia State, Western Kentucky, Connecticut, Miami of Ohio, Ball State, and Wisconsin.
Wake is the best team that Army's played.
Okay. Meanwhile, I think you're correct that Wake, the last couple weeks, has started playing with their food a little more than they are actually like good enough to do so.
Yes, correct. Yep.
So I am a little skeptical of the Deeks in a way that I was not, you know, 3 weeks ago, maybe coming off the Virginia win. It was like, oh yeah, Deeks are going to Charlotte. Like, this is good.
Right.
Then they go down to the wire with Louisville, which, you know, that's fine. Like, that's a back and forth fun.
Okay with that.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. And then they completely mess around and almost lost to Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. And again, we've said Syracuse is playing better, but like,
that was concerning.
Yeah. It's supposed to be winning the Atlantic. Like, come on. So I think I'm going to take Wake here, small number, the favorite, but I don't feel great about it. This is definitely a game they could lose.
Yeah.
I wonder a little bit about Army and the quality there. Again, like they're 4-2. They lost to Wisconsin last week. They previously before that lost by 2 touchdowns to Ball State.
Yeah, not the greatest look.
Not
to
best.
Lose by 2 scores to Ball State.
They put up a number on Connecticut, which fine, have fun. Well, they beat Western Kentucky by 3 in a segment that I believe was on Bad Beats on Scott Van Pelt.
It was.
They beat Miami of Ohio by 13. Like, the record looks good. They've been good in recent years, but like, I don't know that they are as good right now as we are used to in the last maybe 2-3 years.
Yep.
I think coming off the bye week, I think Wake will be ready for this offense, and I think they will be able to win this game by, you know, maybe 10 points or something like that.
Okay. I do think Wake's the better team, but I don't really get the line. I don't get the line.
I don't either. It sketches me out.
Yeah. So I think this is a nice spot to pick a home dog.
West Point's a hell of a point to hell of a place to play too.
Yeah.
You know, just like not even just the environment, but just kind of what's around you and the experience of you're going to the, you know, United States Military Academy and like all that stuff in the world famous West Point, New York, who nobody could ever forget the name of that town.
Nope, except for one, Joseph R. Weaver VII.
One certain podcaster here, just living the Go ACC spirit to his fullest. Mike, total's 52.5. Give me the under. It's an Army game.
Yes, under for sure. Army's going to sit on the ball.
Yes, they will.
It's an under.
There's a chance that Army holds the ball for like 45 minutes of this game if Wake keeps trying to go up tempo and doing that whole thing.
Yeah, the clash of styles will be very interesting. Like that's something I am looking forward to that we didn't get an opportunity to see with Army and Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is more than happy to just muck up a game. Muck with an M. Muck up a game.
Yeah, careful and with your pronunciations here. This is a family show, Mike.
With an M. I know it's late. I know it's Week 8 preview after dark or whatever, but they have a way of uglying things up in a very Wisconsin way, and Army loves to just sit on the ball. Like, that game was over in like 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
This Wake Forest game is interesting because Wake likes to play a little bit up-tempo offensively, and Army likes to sit on it. So we're going to be seeing a clash of styles here as well. So I am going with the under because I do think Army is going to have some success on offense. I think if you think Army's having success on offense, just pick the under, because even if they score a bunch of points, they are going to sit on the ball and take the air out of it and milk that clock.
Yep. I am with you. Both these teams actually fairly balance over versus under, but you know, Army hadn't seen a total this year above 52. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Yep.
So Wake and the under for me, Army and the under for you, Mike. Should be interesting. Once again, no wagers here either way. There's a lot of these games that we are not wagering on. Like the lines are good.
Yeah, the lines are good this week. With the exception of the NC State game, I can see your logic on the Pittsburgh under, and I really like the Virginia Tech under as well.
Yeah, and that's about it. With the exception, Mike, of noon on the ACC Network, as the world-famous UMass Minutemen, led by former Florida State offensive coordinator Walt Bell, heading to Tallahassee, taking on those Florida State Seminoles. The Noles, Mike, are a 35.5-point favorite in this game. There's part of me that thinks, does Florida State really deserve to be favored by 35.5 against anybody? Like, principal, take UMass. On the other hand, it's UMass.
Yeah, this is, I think everybody's in agreement but everybody was in agreement with the Jacksonville State game, right? So I think everybody's in agreement Florida State should win this football game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am going with UMass to cover.
Ooh.
You know, UMass, they beat UConn. They stayed within 17 of Boston College. They lost by 44 to Pittsburgh, but if you think about it, that game was on the road, right? And that Pittsburgh team, too, like, even if you lose that game by by 44 points, like you're only giving up like 8 or 9 points to Florida State. I mean, Pittsburgh's offense is really good. Like, you sure Florida State's going to be able to hang like 51 on UMass or like even get into the 40s? I understand it's UMass, Joey. I know how bad UMass is, right? I do. But Florida State has a tendency to play down to their opponents a lot. And I just have a hard time picking them as a little over a 5-touchdown favorite. I think Florida State wins like, I don't know, 41-14 or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, win by like 27 or 28, and it's never competitive, and they're on cruise control. But 5 touchdowns is a ton. I feel like you get like a late cover score or something like that. I'm talking you into it, aren't I?
You are. I was ready to just like, I think there's some hard feelings around Walt Bell and UMass and Florida State and all that. Like, I felt like Florida State was gonna be ready to put up a number, but you're so right. Like, Florida State does this, right? They like just completely and totally overmatched teams go in there and somehow it's a game in the fourth quarter. Florida State has figured a couple things out on offense, I think, their last couple games. I need more consistency before I can be willing to give 35 and a hook with the Noles. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, give me UMass to cover. I don't want to wager on this at all.
Yeah. I do like the under, I think.
60's quite a bit. Yeah. I'll take the under with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I might put a little bit on the under. Give me 15 Van Gorder coin on the under. I would do more, but like there's weird uncertainty here.
Yeah, there is a lot of, you know, a lot of nonsense potential in this game.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So Florida State wins comfortably, but I think UMass covers at that 35.5. Am I comfortable enough to bet it? Absolutely not. But
yeah.
I think there's opportunity there for UMass to play nicer.
I appreciate your talking me into this because I feel like the viewing experience as a Florida State bettor would have been pretty brutal, to say the least.
Yeah, this would be like the UConn-Kansas game about a month ago. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, big yikes.
Have fun with that, yeah.
UMass and the under, and Mike, you've got 15 on the under. That's all we got in terms of ACC games, Mike. But the honorary ACC game of the week, the Eastern Michigan Eagles on the road taking on the Bowling Green Falcons. Falcons a 3-point underdog at home at noon on pay-per-view, a.k.a. ESPN Plus. This had to be reserved for pay-per-view, Mike.
On Cinemax.
Yeah, regular... Yeah, children's eyes are not allowed to watch Eastern Michigan and Bowling Green. Mike, give me the Eagles. Bowling Green been on a nice run. They've covered a lot of spreads. This is too small. Give me the Eagles. I'll take Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, this is like Cinemax for mature audiences only.
I think there was another name they used to use for the late night programming. It was kind of like that. It kind of rhymed, but
yeah,
I won't say it on this family program.
Yeah, probably not. Hide your kids, hide your wife, I think, for this one. Battle of the Birds here as well.
That's right.
So maybe this will be on National Geographic or something.
Hello.
That'd be something, huh?
Get a little extra sound effect in there.
Oh, man. I'll go with Bowling Green, home dog. Give me the Fighting Leflers.
All right.
Give me the Fighting Leflers.
You love your home dogs this week.
How many home dogs am I on here? I'm on Army, Bowling Green.
I think that's it.
And that's it.
It might be all.
Love my home dogs, though. Love them.
Why not? Sure. Yeah, sure.
Love your home dogs this week. How many are there? Oh, two.
I mean, I think I've picked like 200 hogs the entire week, so I'm sure I won't regret that.
Right.
All right. Mike, that's all I got. Week 8 games. Let's recap here. Again, just big picks. I locked up under 48 in Clemson-Pittsburgh with 20 Van Gorder coin. We both locked up NC State -3 against Miami on the road in 20 Van Gorder coin apiece. And then you locked up the under 45.5 in Syracuse, Virginia Tech with 15 Van Gorder coin. And then you also wagered 15 Van Gorder coin on the under 60 for UMass, Florida State. I think just for the sake of having a third game to wager on, let me throw, I'll throw 10 Van Gorder coin on Boston College to cover the 6.5 against Louisville.
There it is.
That line does not, just doesn't speak to me well as a Louisville fan. I don't like where that's going. I think Boston College is going to be in good shape there.
We're on it.
We are on it. Mike, that's all we got in terms of ACC picks. Other games this weekend that you are interested in, what do you got here?
So, I'm on Notre Dame, my 6.5, home against USC.
Mm-hmm.
USC is just, I say what you will about Notre Dame, but USC is just a mess. Like, Keaton Slovis, a quarterback, is just not it. He's not it.
Mm-mm.
I think they thought he was, but not anymore. Interim coach situation, going to South Bend, playing for pride. I mean, yes, USC is 3-3. They could conceivably go to a bowl game. I get it, but like, you're essentially playing for pride. I think Notre Dame's a much better team here. I think they cover 6.5. I actually really like that bet a lot. A game I'm looking at, I'm not entirely sure. I know the entire point of this segment is to, you know, games we're interested in. I'm interested, but I'm not sure if I'm going to bet it. Cincinnati is a 28-point favorite against Navy. Navy is bad.
Yeah.
Navy's bad.
Navy's in a rough patch.
Navy's bad, and Cincinnati has been rolling over everybody they play. Can Navy establish enough of a run, right? Because Cincinnati hasn't frequently seen the triple option. Can Navy establish enough of a run to sit on the ball and cover 28? Because you got a weird total in that game too. Total is 48.5, right? So you're either expecting like a, you know, 38. I'm trying to do math in my head at almost 1 a.m. Anyway, you're expecting Cincinnati to win that game like pretty handily, but Navy to basically just not score. Which,
yeah, the point is like huge spread, small total, probably yeah, taking the underdog.
Probably taking the underdog. So I have a hard time betting against Cincinnati because they are, you know, I am holding a Cincinnati plus 2200 to make the playoff ticket, which I'm feeling better and better about by the week, by the way.
Yeah. You're cooking on that.
I mean, this, if there's going to be a year to put a group of five team in, this might be it. And I'm holding that plus 2200 with my $10 bet. And that feels really, really good right about now.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate to bet against Cincinnati, but I don't know. I could get interested. If this got up to like 29 or 30, I think I'm going to be on Navy, but I don't know. That's an interesting line. There are a couple more. Oh, I like Purdue at home against Wisconsin. I get that you're coming off of it. Purdue's coming off of a huge win and you're in a little bit of a letdown spot.
Mm-hmm.
3-point home dog against a team that I don't believe is very good. I like Purdue there a lot. I think they avoid kind of that letdown. You know, after that strong showing against Iowa at Kinnick, you're coming back home. I think they win that game. What do you think?
I am definitely nervous about the letdown factor there.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin is a team that can absolutely just like ground you into a fine paste, right? Like,
yes.
So that's on the table. So that's where I would kind of leave that one alone. But I mean, I see the thought too, is that I think Purdue is kind of pulling it together. Like they're starting to play some good ball.
They are.
Wisconsin too. What I will say is that like, we're all willing to kind of pile on that how bad they've looked. But if you look at who they've played to get the record that they have achieved, you know, they're 3-3. They had a one score loss to Penn State. They were winning, I believe, against Notre Dame going into the fourth quarter. And then they lost to Michigan. So their three losses are to three teams that have a combined two losses among them. Like, they haven't been beaten by bad teams. Like, they've been beaten by really good teams, and then they looked really convincing against Eastern Michigan, Illinois, and they just pulled one out against Army last weekend. So I'm curious. I think this is a game where you could learn about both of these teams. So that's one. If you have the Big Ten Network at 3 o'clock on Saturday, this is an interesting one to tune into and kind of see what happens and learn something about both these teams, I think.
Definitely. One I really like is UTSA minus 6.5 at Louisiana Tech.
Meep, yo. Meep.
Yo. UTSA is like for real, I think. Mm-hmm. And Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech was a hot pick against UTEP last week. Everybody was like, yep, we're riding with Louisiana Tech -6.5 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I said on this podcast, I was like, man, are we sure? Like, yeah. Are we absolutely sure we're going to bet against UTEP here? And UTEP won that game 19-3. Louisiana Tech looked awful offensively. I think they're going to look awful offensively in this game as well. So give me the Roadrunners.
I don't hate Colorado +8.5 at Cal. I just don't think Cal is a team that should be favored by more than a touchdown against conference opponents at this point.
Can they score 9 points?
Who? Either one of them?
Well, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, good question. I was going to say Cal, but
yeah,
fair question.
I'm also kind of intrigued by Utah -3 at Oregon State. Like, small favorite, but Utah, again, a team that's kind of pulling it together. They struggled that first month, but they've been looking much better recently.
Yeah. Yep. A&M. I like A&M. -19.5. South Carolina is now back on the graduate transfer quarterback. So
yeah, that's the good old put up a number game where Jimbo's going to know what the spread is, and he's going to make sure they get there.
Yep.
Speaking of which, again, speaking of Pac-12 games, the sketchy line of the week, the highly ranked Oregon Ducks are a 2-point underdog in Pasadena taking on the UCLA Bruins. I don't have an opinion there, but just what in the world is that spread? Like, have fun betting that.
Yeah, I will be staying away from that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No idea. Yeah, that's one of those games. I have no idea what to think. And then let's do one more. Yeah, let's go back to the Mountain West. Nevada, 3.5-point dog on the road at Fresno. Don't mind Nevada there. Fresno, a little up and down.
Fresno's
Nevada playing
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Mike, let me tell you about how much Fresno State football I've been watching this year.
They lost by 3 to Hawaii. Granted, it was on the road.
Yeah.
Took that Oregon Wyoming game. Yes. They beat Wyoming 17-0. I thought that game would get weird. It did. It was pretty boring, actually, but weird. They couldn't really pull away. I don't know. And Nevada, I feel like there's just been more upside with what they've been doing. I don't mind taking a road dog there inside 4 points.
Yeah. Well, and a team with a quarterback like they have. I mean, that's
hard
never
to bet against Carson
bet.
Strong. Yeah, hard to bet against Carson Strong.
Yep. The other one that stuck out to me was a top 10 Oklahoma State going to Ames, Iowa, where they're an underdog by a touchdown to an unranked Iowa State team. That's the other stinky line of the week that like should tell you something.
Yeah, we're getting back on the Iowa State bandwagon, I think.
Yep.
All aboard. Their path to the Big 12 championship is certainly not impossible at this point. This would be a pretty big win.
Choo-choo.
And Oklahoma State is, if it makes Iowa State feel any better, like Oklahoma State, I don't know why this would make Iowa State feel better because they never beat Iowa. But Oklahoma State is low-key kind of like Big 12 Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe not as extreme on both ends, but very good defense, largely ineffective offense.
Yeah.
But keep winning games.
Yeah. They're basically like, imagine how Virginia Tech would be if they won a couple one score games. That's what Oklahoma State is.
Yeah. There you go. I think the last one I'm interested in is also in the Mountain West. San Diego State, I believe, has beaten Air Force something like 5 or 6 times in a row, and they are a 3.5-point underdog in Colorado Springs. So give me the Aztecs there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's. I have a feeling I'm going to be betting a lot of Mountain West because I don't mind that line either.
Well, you better be pacing yourself on Saturday because you're going to be up late watching those games.
And pace myself, I won't because I'm going to a brunch on Saturday morning. And then my wife's got plans in the afternoon, which means it'll be beer o'clock earlier than usual.
What could possibly go wrong, Mike?
I, like Scott Van Pelt says, you know, it's 2 a.m. You've had 64 beers. You decide to fire on Nevada as a 31-point favorite or whatever they were.
It's like Scott Van Pelt is like in my house watching me. It's crazy.
He's been a approaching middle-aged male before. That's insulting to us, huh?
Yeah, that's a thought.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Not quite, not quite. I'm trying to stay young, but, you know, it can be tough.
Yes.
Speaking of which, Mike, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. Let's get out of here. Let's go watch these games. We're going to come back and recap them at the end of the weekend. In the meantime, y'all can find us on Twitter. I am at FJRSJoey. He's at Mike McDaniel SOS. Together, we're at BC Podcast ACC. You can send us an email with your questions, comments, concerns. The longest email address known to man, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. And thank you to the listener who sent us an email. And Mike, you pointed this out right before we started recording, that we got an email clarifying the fact that Wake Forest has, in fact, had College Game Day there before. And in fact, it was just last year. The problem was it was the first weekend of the year and there was no fans in attendance or anything like that. So, you know. Go back again, please.
Yeah, run it back with fans. That'd be good.
Let's make it count this time. Mike, they can find us on iTunes, Spotify, all the other good places they can find podcasts. And you want to tell them where else they can find us on the social medias?
Facebook.com/basketballconference. Rate, review, find all your podcasts there. Check us out on Instagram at BC Podcast ACC. And we have not gotten a review on Apple in 9 days.
And counting.
Fix it.
It's on you guys. It's on you guys.
Fix it.
We believe in you. We appreciate you. We cherish you. We love you. But that's on you guys. Let's make it work.
Fix it. Yep.
Mike, I think that's all I've got. Anything else before we get out of here?
Let's go watch some really weird ACC football.
Can't wait. Also, go Braves.
Yes, go Braves. Go Red Sox. Down 3-2. Backs have been against the wall before. We don't have any pitching, but we'll figure it out.
Cobble it together. Maybe yeah, they'll just split those 64 beers I'm going to drink on Saturday. Then they'll, you know, they'll go in fearless and they'll figure it out.
Just hit a million grand slams like you did in the first couple games of the series. You'll be all right.
There you go. That's a good strategy. I like it.
Yeah.
Mike, have a good weekend. Enjoy the games. We will talk on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, until then, for Mr. Mike McDaniel, I am Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the games. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later. And until then, go ACC.